WMMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on fireitupwithcj.com and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. We're here today with Fired Up with CJ. You can find her on her website, fireitupwithcj.com, or you can follow her on Facebook, same name, Fired Up with CJ. You want to get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, sit down with us for an hour. We have a great interview today with Dr. Bernie Siegel. He was named one of the top 20 spiritual influential people by Watkins Mind, Body, and Spirit magazine. It's going to be a great hour, so join us and relax. And hi, CJ. Are you relaxed?
Hi. I am. I'm actually energized, which is, I'm super excited. I've been reading Dr. Bernie Siegel's book for the last week, and it's been, you know, sometimes when books are perfectly timed with your life, where you read something. Have you ever had that, Cassandra?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like exactly the thing I need to be reading right now. So I'm super excited. How was your week, Sandra?
It's good. You know, we're ramping up to the chaos, but it's all going good. I've decided that I'm going to be calm and relaxed and just let it be and have a great week. You know, my kids are going to be home. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know what? I think all of us, whether you're in the car driving right now or wherever you are, take a deep breath.
And just let it be.
Yeah, let it be. I think it's a great advice.
Yeah.
Just let it be, relaxed. It's about connecting. Let's not forget people. This is what Thanksgiving is about and Christmas. It's ultimately about love and connecting.
Well, yeah, and I like what you had to say about being in the car, because we get so mad and so stressed out so easily. Just put the radio on and listen to your show and just drive home, and you'll be in a better mood when you get home. Just let it all go. You got that time, just let it all go. And it's really hard to do. I try. But some days it's not easy.
Yes. Well, what I loved about The Art of Healing, which is by our guest, Dr. Bernie Siegel, is that it was fun. I was there. I had some laugh out loud moments. I had like little tears running down my face. I mean, this is like, if you want to get you back into the now, feeling hopeful and inspired, I really would recommend this book. And I did it while I was sick. I was actually, Cassandra, you've been hearing me complain over the last 2 weeks if I've been just really, really sick.
Yeah.
And so The Art of Healing was kind of the perfect book for me, and it brought up all sorts of interesting questions about healing and, you know, and maybe my cold is some other manifestation of something else. So welcome, Dr. Siegel.
Thank you.
So,
let me say something about books for a minute, because you had said it was like what you just needed at the moment.
Yes.
And what I tell people to do, I think part of it is how you change and how certain books then become meaningful to you. But I learned sort of accidentally from listening to the same tapes in the car and rereading the same books at home that they got better with time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that may sound crazy, but like you read a book 2 years later and you realize, boy, this book is better than it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I'm changed, so I see new things in the book. And I'd say keep reading and rereading certain books or listening to certain lectures. And if new things come out of them, that's a good sign that you're continuing to evolve.
Yes, I absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you hear those mystical bells? Where did those come from? It's like the angels agreeing with you.
Right.
And I didn't even do, you know, life is a mystery. So I actually think that's true. I've actually had a couple of books that, there's one book, it's an Enneagram book. I can't remember the name of it, but I read it in each, it's by Almas. It's the spiritual dimension of the Enneagram. And I read it and think, that's profound. And the second time I read it, I think, that's even more profound, and I didn't even get it when I first read it. Yeah. And then I just keep on reading and rereading passages, and they absolutely get that way. And I bet, I think your book is going to be one of those classics that have that same kind of feeling where you read it and you think, ah, wow, I understand it at one level, but the deeper and deeper you go into moving from understanding it consciously to understanding at a deeper level, I think it just filters in at a deeper level.
Oh, so one other thing that you said, you laughed and you cried.
Yes.
I know I've done a good job when people say I laughed and I cried. I have a quote I have to give you from a letter I got. A lady, you know, if you think you're having a terrible day, she was fired at her job at school as a teacher. Went to the doctor, learned she had breast cancer, came home that evening, and her husband said, I want a divorce.
Oh, gosh.
And she said, when I met her, I'm going to commit suicide, you know. I'm going to jump out my 10-story window and end it all. But she said she met someone who knew me, gave her some of my tapes, and she said, before I jumped out the window, I took a glass of wine and put your tapes on. And then the next sentence, you made me laugh, you made me cry, you made me want to live.
Oh, there you go doing that again.
Yeah.
It made me cry on air. That's beautiful.
Yeah. To get that letter from her, you know, meant a lot to me.
Absolutely. It's why, don't you feel like when you get letters like that from patients or clients, it's almost, it just validates, this is why I'm here on earth.
Yeah, it makes your life meaningful. To, well, who was it? I think, the poetess, Dickinson. He said, if I can keep one heart from breaking, ease one life the aching, one help one fainting robin into his nest again, I shall not live in vain. Yeah, Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, I was reading, going through your website, and you can find folks, you can go to, it's BernieSiegel.com, is that right? Is that, or is it
yep.
Dr.? Yeah,
SIEGEL.
SIEGEL.com. And what I appreciated about your website is your blog posts and the questions and answers that you had, because they were just so heartfelt. It's exactly like that woman who reached out at a point of just losing all hope. And your blog posts are so inspiring, and they're so filled with love. I mean, it's a genuine sense of love. And you know, you can read it and feel it. I mean, I can read your blog posts and feel the love. It sounds corny, but you can.
Well, I mean, they do come from my heart. I don't, you know, the fellow who runs the web, I think he fixes the sentences and puts capitals in and things like that, because they just flow from me, you know, without worrying about punctuation, capital, spelling. It is coming from my heart. And so I can't stop and think about it. They just let it happen. You know, years ago, I wrote letters to people. It was easier in the sense that you just wrote, you know. Now you got to sit, you know, in front of the computer, type it out, and, you know, make mistakes and correct and things like that. But I don't worry about those things. And occasionally people say, I wanted to talk to Dr. Siegel. Who sent this? Because they think, you know, this must be his office help or something. Look at how he spelled it, you know. And I say, no, it's me. Yeah.
I'm a lover, not a writer.
Right.
No, you're actually a good writer, too. Well, okay, so I have a question for you about healing. So do you think healing is always related, you know, the illnesses are always related to something deeper? So my cold, you break a leg. I mean, is it always that the source of your physical problem emanates someplace else?
Yeah, I think there are always emotional issues. I mean, years ago, doctors would say to me, you're blaming your patients. And I'd say, what are you talking about? Well, you asked them what's going on in their life. That wasn't about blame. It's about what could make you vulnerable now. Why might you get sick? Why could you have an accident? you know, what other things can be contributing. So in several ways, I mean, part of this I learned from my own life, my wife's life. She had, which included twins, 5 kids in 7 years. We both got sick.
Wow.
We were exhausted. You know, mm-hmm. we had no immune system left. So I began to ask patients the same kinds of things. You have another kid, move, get a new job. And they'd look at me like, how did you know? But, you know, it was, okay, that could contribute. So maybe you need to take a nap, get a rest, get help. You know, that those things are significant. We also know that from poets as well as studies, things like retirement, loneliness, all these things can make you vulnerable for illness because they affect immune function, stress hormone levels, whereas laughter and love enhance them. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's not about blaming, but what is happening in your life that mm-hmm. could have made you vulnerable now, that may have had this happen now. And just an example, if you have identical twin sisters, one is a little devil who drives mom and dad crazy, doing her own independent, authentic things. The other little girl wants to make mommy and daddy happy, internalizes her anger, and tries to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say to an audience, who's more likely to get breast cancer, everybody votes for the good girl.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it is affecting you. And this is not about guilt, blame, and shame, but to look at what is going on in my life? What could have made me vulnerable now? Because I also found that when you help people heal lives, some of them got over incurable illnesses. Well, Solzhenitsyn used the term self-induced healing in his book, Cancer Ward. Doctors don't ever use that term. I mean, they talk about spontaneous remissions and miracles. But you learn from patients that when they do better than expected, exceed expectations, you know, fulfill their potential, that they're living a story and that they have common themes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to pass on to people, that your best chance of surviving is, you know, like here's a list, see? So live this and you will do better than those who don't. And even simple things like distance people traveled to get therapy. Those who had to travel the furthest to get to a hospital for a new protocol, 3 to 5 times as many of them responded well to the treatment as those who lived within a few blocks of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even changing the name of treatment from EPO, those are 4 chemotherapy agents, letters EPO and H. One doctor turned it around, said, hey, it spells hope if you turn it around.
Yeah.
So he had more of his patients doing well receiving the hope protocol than the EPO protocol. So mind and body, as I say, are a unit. And our emotions, well, Monday morning, more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Monday, but how you're feeling when you get up on Monday and head to work.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the themes that I read in your book, is that the actual language and choices of words and even the smile that you bring to a patient when you're a doctor makes a huge difference, right? I think doctors, they're not trained. And I know that one of your – yeah, that was one of your audiences, right? They're not trained to do that. Yeah.
You know, people who felt their doctor was compassionate and listened to them got well faster than those who said, my doctor didn't. And one of the, I'm sure it's one of the pictures in the book, the word words become swords. That if you write words, 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 you know, with no space between it, you realize it becomes swords, 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 swords. And one of our kids actually did that at school in an art class. So I hang it on the wall because I realized as a doctor, I wasn't trained to talk to people and that my words could kill or cure them. You know, if I took their hope away, they go home and die.
Right.
And I ultimately called it deceiving people into health. Because, you know, like hypnosis, I mean, you can lie in a sense, but induce positive results because they have faith in you, trust you, and you're empowering them and getting them to expect the best rather than look forward to the worst. Well, think of the, you know, drives me nuts when you think of the commercials on television. After they tell you something could cure your asthma or your headache, they tell you it could cause heart attack, suicide, you know, liver malfunction.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you the know, terrifying. By the time they're done, it's like, I'd rather have a headache. Thank
yeah,
you.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So we actually are talking to Dr. Bernie Siegel, who is talking about the art of healing, a lot of which includes his ideology about making sure that medical practice that people in the medicine practice actually help empower their patients, and what a vital role their fear, their faith, their trust, and expecting the best has in healing them. So up next, we're going to be talking about some ways to uncover your own inner wisdom so that you can actually do your own self-healing. So if you want more information on wellness, make sure to go to www.firedupwithcj.com and check out that section. We'll be right back.